going on and off through the book of Acts. It's such a great book. We are pretty close to the end now, and I'm excited to kind of see where our story has taken us. So again, we'll be in Acts 26, and you can turn there. But before we get there, I kind of want to tell you my story a little bit, or how this scripture really pertains to me and my experiences. Paul's going to say something in here that I think is one of the biggest keys for you seeing victory happen in your life over situations, over certain things that are going on, and you just can't seem to kick them. Anybody there? I was there. I've been there. Sometimes I still am there in many ways. But this scripture that we're going to be talking about, this idea, is a way that we're going to start seeing that victory taking place. I truly believe it because I've seen it in my life and I see it in scripture. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. When I was 8 years old, just like little Lena, I got baptized, I got saved. I was so excited about Jesus, went through middle school and high school, and things got really hard, like most of you guys probably experienced in middle school and high school. And most of you know this because I've said this story quite a few times. I just didn't seem to be the good Christian kid. Now, I wasn't a bad kid, but I wasn't a good Christian, right? Like, I was that kid. I was like, yeah, I know of God, but I constantly do things I don't want to do, right? Anybody understand that? So I was always battling between the good Christian kid that goes to church on Sunday and the kid that really wants to please his friends and be the troublemaker, you know, and that it's this dichotomy, if you will, in our mind that we go through. How do I serve God because it seems like I'm never really able to? It seems like I'm never really good enough, right? And I remember at 17 years old, I went to this youth group, and they were like on fire for God. And I was like, God, I want to just go all in. I'm going to be all in. I don't want to just play this game anymore because it's an easy game to play, right? We can look really good on the outside, but our thoughts and all these things are just horrid on the inside. And I was like, God, I don't want to play this game anymore. But can I be real with you for a second? I, for years, until about really a couple of years ago, even though I wanted to be a great follower of Christ, and even though in many ways I was, there were some battles going on in my life that I was not able to get through. I was just, it seemed, unable to get through certain things. Now, there was other things that, yeah, I was able to just get over those things. It was easy. You know, I decided I'm not going to cuss anymore when I was in high school. And you know what? For the most part, I didn't. I'm not going to do this or that. And for the most part, I was pretty good. But there were certain things that it just seemed were so difficult. And I felt like I was never really getting to where God in His Word says I should be. You know? Like I was always saying, man, if I could just be better at this. You know what I'm talking about. If I'm just working on this. Man, God, and every, you know, you go home, you go to bed, and you're like, God, I don't know why I'm doing these things. I don't want to, right? It's like this little devil's in your mind going, yeah, but you do, but you don't, but you do, but you don't, but you do. And you're constantly struggling with it. How do I get through this? How do I be the man or the woman that God really has designed me to be? And I believe that we're going to find the answer here in Acts 26. Because I think if all of us were honest, we're all in that place. No matter how close you are in your relationship with God, there are some things that you probably struggle with on a daily basis, at least a weekly basis, that come back up and you're going, why does this keep coming back in my life? Why do these thoughts, why do these feelings, why do these emotions continue to plague me even though I feel like I'm getting closer to God? What is going on? And I really think, like I said, we're going to find this in Acts 26. This morning, I used to always say the phrase, I'm working on this, or I'm trying to get better at this. You heard me say that earlier. I think now that I read this scripture and I understand it, that those are two of the most crippling things we can say as Christians. And I'm going to explain to you why here in a little bit. I'm working on this. I'm trying to get better at this. And we're going to see why this frame of mind, this understanding, this thinking is really keeping us from seeing victory in our lives. So we've been in the book of Acts, we see that Paul has been arrested because of one thing. It's not that he's preaching the gospel necessarily, but because he says the gospel is for Jews and Gentiles. You know, they don't like the fact that he's saying their laws no longer matter and they just need to turn to Jesus. They don't like that, but they really don't like the fact that he's saying now it's for Gentiles. Now Gentiles have access to heaven. You ever been a part of a group of people that you were like the inside group and then someone else gets to come in and you're like, I don't think so, you know? That's what they're like. I don't want these Gentiles in here. So they get mad. They arrest Paul. It says they even were so mad that they threw fistfuls of dirt in the air. Like, what are they, children? Right? Like, they're so mad. And they get him arrested. He goes before all these different people. He goes before the high council. He goes before Governor Felix. He goes before Festus. And now, he's in front of this man named Agrippa. We see in Scripture, he's King Agrippa. And now, Agrippa has a pretty good grip on the Jewish laws, right? Sorry, that just went over your head. Has a good grip on, like, the Jewish laws and the traditions and all that. And so Paul just tells him his story. Paul tells him, hey, I used to be a Pharisee. My name was Saul. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus showed up and radically changed my life. Just completely changed everything that I ever thought. And then Jesus tells me this. He told me to go and preach the good news, the gospel, to Gentiles. And it's because of that, he says, that everyone's mad at him. And in verse 19 of Acts 26, we're going to see right here, it says this. He's talking, he says, and so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven, the vision when Jesus had told him that. I preached first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea and also to the Gentiles that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things they do. Now some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me, but God has protected me right up to this present time, so that I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest that I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike. It's a lot of information. We're going to pull out specifically verse 20. Okay, and so let's read this verse again. It says, I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must, what's the word? Everyone say it. Run, two, three. Repent. Okay. Yeah. Of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things they do. I want to pull this verse out, because in this verse, I think, is really the key to everything when it comes to seeing victory over our life and over situations. And maybe I'm not going to go in a direction you're thinking I'm going to go this morning. Because a lot of people will pull this scripture out and they'll tell you, so you need to change. You need to start doing this and doing that and doing this. And God's upset with you because you're this and you're that. Well, this morning what I want to tell you is I believe that this is a mind problem that you and I have. That we have kind of been told for a lot of our life, you grew up like I grew up, that if I'm a good Christian, I need to act like it. You ever heard that? If you're a Christian, you need to act like a Christian. And what it does is it puts all the responsibility on you to act like a Christian. Right? Well, I like I said earlier, the phrase is, man, I got to stop doing this. I got to act like this. And we're going to really look at what this word repent means and then what comes after it. The word repent in Greek is metanoeo. I hope I said that right. And it means this, to change one's mind or to change one's mind for the better. So I want to read the New King James Version because it kind of, it says repent twice and it's easier to kind of see this. But where it says repent, I want to put in to change one's mind. So we're going to look at this real quick. In Acts 26, verse 20, New King James Version, it says, but declared first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent or change their mind turn to God, and do works befitting repentance or a changed mind. So I'm going to say that again, that they should change their mind, turn to God, and do works befitting a changed mind. So you guys are starting to see this, right? This thing that repent doesn't necessarily mean, hey, you've got to fix yourself, but instead that you have to change your mind on how you see things. That you have to begin to change the way you feel about things. But then the next part is equally important. Because a lot of us hear or think, I've got to repent. But then we miss the very next part, which is just important. We have to repent and, what did it say? Turn to God. Repent and turn to God. And it's an interesting thing because what it does is it takes the pressure of being perfect off of us and instead puts it on our relationship with God. It says, hey, you know what you're doing isn't good. I would guess that if you were to ask 90% of Americans, do you do things you think are wrong? They would say, yeah, I'm a jerk, you know? Like, I say things I don't want to. I think things I don't want to. See, we all can recognize this thing that I am not necessarily the greatest person in the world. But then, where a lot of us have missed it, is it says, then you turn to God. And a lot of people will recognize the fact, I've messed up. I've done wrong things. But not everyone wants to then turn to God. This is the most important part, not the most important, both of them are equally as important, but we have to begin to understand the process through which we begin to see victory in our life. It's not just in repenting, but it's repenting and turning to God, which leads, as Paul says, to a naturally life-changing mind, life-changing victories that go on in your life. It leads to someone naturally acting like God designed them to act because you've changed your mind and you've turned to God. 2 years ago, I planted some crepe myrtles in the backyard. And I love crepe myrtles because they're like weeds, you know? They just grow. You don't even have to water them. You don't have to do anything. And they just grow. Well, it's amazing because they start out these little things, but it's been 2 years. They went from this tall to now they're about 10 feet tall. And it's just like, whoa, they have just grown exponentially. And I love going up to them because they have these beautiful flowers on them. And I love looking at the flowers and smelling them, and then a bee shoots in my nose and stink. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. But, you know, like, it's a beautiful thing that plants just, they naturally produce what they are. I don't hear them screaming, come on, crepe myrtle flower, go. You know, like, I don't hear them groaning. They just do it. In fact, I've never seen a tree that produced anything other than what it is. It's natural for it to do that. But I've known a lot of Christians that are screaming out, oh God, change me. Maybe you. I have. Oh God, I need you to take this thing from me. Oh God, I have to have victory over this. I want to stop doing this. Oh God, make me better. Have you ever said those things? I have. But like I said earlier, I believe this because I've seen it in my life. I believe that that's not the right way to think when it comes to issues in our life. And I want to explain why today. See, when I was 17 years old, I began this life journey going, I want to be a follower of Christ. At 20 years old, I realized I want to be a minister. And throughout the rest of that time, I wanted to do what was right. And I used to beg God all the time, God, make me holy. God, help me to be a better person. God, help me to be a better husband, a better father. Help me, help me, help me. And I began to realize that the way I was looking at those things was wrong. Because what the scripture says is that God has made us holy in Christ. That I have the full ability to love people and to care about people. I have, the Bible says, victory over sin in the name of Jesus. That we have all these things that are available to us in Christ. In fact, Romans 12 shows us perfectly this understanding. In verse 2, it says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. And a lot of us will stick right there and say, okay, I won't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But we forget the second part. It says, but let God transform you. Remember, repent and turn to God. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? Think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, every single one of us, there's this point in our life, this moment in our life, where we go, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this anymore. And for most of us, you know, you're probably in the church at that time, and you're going, what the preacher is saying is good. God loves me. He cares about me. He's freed me from sin. If I would just accept Jesus, that's all I have to do. Okay, cool. And then we repent, right? We say, okay, God, I don't want this. I'm going to turn to you. So we turn to God. We accept Jesus into our life. But then we think from that moment on, the rest is up to us. Now I've repented. I've turned to God. I've been saved. But now the issues that I'm dealing with, I got to get through those. I got to stop doing that. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop smoking. I got to stop chewing and whatever. Fill in the blank. I got to do these things because God says that if I'm a Christian, then the Bible says I shouldn't be doing these things. But we forget this, that it's not us that transforms us, but it says let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So it always comes back to Him. If you've heard me preach, I'm a resounding gong with this issue. Because I got this wrong so much, and it almost took me away from God. And most people I talk to, this is the problem in their life, is they're going, man, I want to be a great Christian. And I look at them and say, no, you are. You are. In the eyes of God, you are. Here's the problem. We have to let God transform us, right? Even in 2 Peter 1, it says, by His divine power, God has, it's past tense, given us everything we need for living a godly life. You have everything you need. Yeah, it's weird, right? We have received all this by coming to know Him. So when we accepted Jesus, we got it all. The one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. I always find it funny, I believe it's in 1 John, when he says, hey, it's most of the time, it's not even the devil that's tempting us, it's our own human desires. Our own evil thoughts that come in and say, hey, I want that. That looks good. I'm enticed by that. And what God is saying is, hey, let me change you. Let me transform you. Because everything you need for living a godly life is found in me. It's already been given to you, but you've got to recognize it. You've got to, as Paul says, repent and turn to God. You have to change your mind on how you're looking at this issue and turn to God. This morning, I want to give us a really good illustration and understanding of what this looks like. So what I have, you've probably been wondering what this is up here. I have two different sides. One is flesh and one is spirit. And we're going to talk about what a changed life, a changed mind begins to look like. A life of repentance, if you will, looks like. So when you and I were born, the Bible says that we were born into sin. We couldn't even help it, right? We were children of wrath, so the Bible says, born into sin. You couldn't help it. It didn't matter what you did. You were right here, standing dead in front of flesh, and you couldn't help it. You couldn't even take a step towards the Spirit, because the Spirit, the things of God, the things that are found in God, were not available to us. They just weren't, right? So you're standing right here. And for umpteen years, you've been standing right here, okay? And then something happened, a moment in your life, and you said, man, God, I want to change my life. I realize the way I'm living, I don't want that, and I want you. And what happens is, in that moment, we take a step this way. Because remember before, we couldn't even do that. We take a step, and everything, the Spirit has just poof, been given to us. It's plopped down right there. Everything we need for living a godly life, his divine nature, hey, we get to partake in it. We are now sons and daughters of the living God. But here's the deal. You and I, we have lived for umpteen years with the flesh in our mind. The thoughts of the world in our mind. How we behaved, how we treated situations. All these things that we've thought our whole life. The depression, the anger, the addictions, all of it right here. And we just took a step. And what the Bible says is this, in Acts 26, verse 20, it says we have to repent and turn. It's an interesting word, turn, because it means you're facing one direction or another, right? You're facing one way or the other. And for those of us this morning, which way are we facing? Because if you just got saved, or maybe you've even been saved for a while, you may be here, you may be here, you may be here. I'm not sure where you're at this morning. But we can say over many different issues, I'd say we're probably in some different places. Some of us are over here, some of us are a little over here. And what I'm saying by all this is the way we think, the way we come at situations, sometimes we know what God wants for us, we know what his word says, but we're still seeing it through this lens. Right? Looks like this. Man, I'm dealing with depression. Oh, God, I'm depressed. I'm a depressed person. I don't know how I'm going to get over this, but your word says I can, but Lord, I constantly am dealing this. God, take away this depression in my life. We're seeing things through a fleshly lens. Spirit, I am not a depressed person in the name of Jesus. I have joy and I have peace. I am a son. I am a daughter of God. I don't have to deal with this in my life because God's taken it from me. And we begin to walk this way, and we begin to build ourselves up in the things of God and turning to God, and we're able to see victory over our life. And then when that depression comes and you're standing over here because you've been speaking the promises in the Spirit over your life, you're so far from the flesh, it's not even going to bother you anymore. Right? Right? But if we are seeing things through the lens of the flesh, then guys, you're going to constantly deal with the flesh. I'm an addict. My dad was an addict. I'm an addict. God, I don't know how you're going to take this from me. Oh, God, please take this from me. I can't stop drinking. God, I'm so messed up. God, I am not an addict in the name of Jesus. You've taken away my sin. You've made me holy in the name of Jesus. You have sanctified me is what your word says. I'm not an addict. And we begin to speak that which is in the Spirit instead of that which is in the flesh. And we are going to see victory in my life. I can't tell you how many Christians I've met. Oh, Austin, I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm just trying. Oh, I'm a going. I'm a doing. Oh, life's okay, but you know, it's rough. Another valley's just around the bend. Oh, all this stuff. No. Smack yourself and turn, right? Man, my life is great. God is good. He loves me. He's going to provide for me. He cares about me. Every time we stress over any issue, what you've done is you've turned and you're looking at it this way. And when you're turned this way, you are incapable of seeing something through the Spirit. See, and that's what Paul's saying. He's going, hey, you got to repent. And a lot of us have repented. You know, throughout my life, God, I am so tired of looking at things that I shouldn't. I feel so ashamed. I'm so broken. God, I'm addicted to this stuff. And God, please take it from me. God, you've taken this from me. I am not an addict in the name of Jesus. I am holy. And you know what? It's this process called sanctification. We begin to walk towards the Spirit. We begin. And sometimes, guys, we're going to turn around. And we're going to start doing this. And we're going to start walking. You ever been in an issue? You think, man, this is not even an issue in my life anymore. But then something real big happens. Right? Like, God, you got my finances, you got all this, it's not a big deal, and then a huge financial issue. Oh, Lord, I don't know how you're going to take care of this. This is bigger than it's ever been. I can't imagine. And then you're right here, and you're stressed out, you're angry. This has been me probably in last year. Be real with you. Until I go, you know what, God? Your word says you've got this. My finances are not my problem. It's your problem. As PJ said so perfectly this morning, good job, man. It's like, God, it's your responsibility. You've got it. You know? Let's look at healing. This one might hit home for us. God, I'm sick all the time. God, I've got to take so much medication because I constantly are going through all this issue. God, I'm allergy season's coming. I know hay fever's coming. We are seeing things through the flesh. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Allergies, you're not going to affect me this time. Sickness, you're not going to affect me this time. God, you are going to, I am healed. The word says you are healed in the name of Jesus. The Spirit is there. My mom was in town last week. We had a really good time, and we're hanging out at Incredible Pizza, and my kids are playing and just running around, and my mom's like, man, it's so nice. You have such healthy little kids. And I said something, and I almost caught myself when I said it, but then I was like, yeah. And I looked at her, and I said, you know what? In my family, health is a birthright. My children are not going to deal with sickness. They're not going to get sick. And I believe that in the name of Jesus. And she looked at me like, you're kind of audacious. And I looked at her, I said, you know what the word tells me? Is that I have the power in the name, not me, I have the power in the name of Jesus. And I'll be audacious with my dad in heaven to lay my hands on the sick, and it says they will be healed. It wasn't even a question. Jesus didn't say, and some of them will be healed. He said, and they will be healed. And why do we not see as many healings happening? Is because we look, even as we're praying over someone, in the flesh. God, if it's your will, I pray that they be... No, it is His will that people are healed. Oh, God, if this, you know, just help me get over this hay fever. No, it needs to leave in the name of Jesus. And here's the deal. We're not going to get this perfect. Some of us, we wonder, why is it that I don't get healed all the time? Why is it sometimes I'm healed? Because some of us, we're right here still, you know? And we're looking at healing right, but sometimes the flesh comes back in and we're not experiencing that in our life. But I promise you, church, the more we walk this way on any issue in our life, we're going to see more and more victory take place. That's what the word promises. Let God transform you by the way you think. Because everything that's available in the Spirit is available to us, but we have to turn towards God, right? You can't just pretend to be a good Christian. It doesn't work. It makes you miserable. And there's tons of them out there. I was one for a long time. Everything, I was saved, but I was standing right here. In every situation, everything that came on, it was like, there was certain addiction, guys, the minute it even popped in my mind, I knew I was going to fall into that. Right? Like I had no control, no power over it. There was just nothing I see. I was like, God, I don't know what to do. And eventually He spoke to me and said, just turn through His word. He spoke to me, just turn. And start seeing yourself that way instead of seeing yourself that way. You know? Those of you in here, whatever you're going through, whether it's depression, whether it's anger, whether it's a healing, whatever it is, begin to see your life through what the Spirit says. And you know, the thing I said to my mom, a lot of people go, man, that's audacious, Austin. It's like, you know what? I can be audacious when it's in the Word. Because if the Word says it, that means the Word is more of a reality than what the world is telling me. And so many Christians, I believe this because I see it all the time, we are carnally minded. What carnally minded means is that we're seeing everything through the lens of flesh instead of through the lens of the Spirit. Every situation, oh, I don't know how this financial issue is going to turn out. I don't know if I'm going to kick this sickness. Oh, man, I'm not going to get through my depression. I'm not going to get through this. I just don't know how it's going to happen. God, you're going to have to do a miracle. He already did 2,000 years ago by sending Jesus on the cross, dying, raising Him, and defeating it in that moment. It says that it's been given to you. So we don't have to beg God for help. He's helped us. So He says, hey, turn, turn. Focus on me and the things I've given you, and you're going to see victory in your life. The things, I could tell you this, once I started understanding this, and I began speaking it over my life, the things that I used to be like right here on, man, now I'm over here, and they don't bother me. Every once in a while, something will come back up, and it's like, oh, man, And I catch myself, no, I need to turn. I need to look at this through the lens of God. A lot of times that's my wife that helps me, you know. Your spouse is like, looking at it this way. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I need to work on that. Thank God for godly women. It'll turn us. You know, I think if us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, I think if we were more audacious in our lives, we wouldn't let Satan mess with us so much. I remember there was this pastor talking about when he would go hiking. And when you hike, like in New Mexico where I'm from, there's this point at which they say is the snake line. And when you're walking through the mountains, you got to worry about snakes for a certain distance. But if you get high enough, the snakes stop because they don't go higher than that. And I think in our Christian walk, it's very similar. The more we walk towards this way, Satan and the snakes, they're going to try to get to us, but we're too far, man. And we look at that stuff and we just laugh and go, you can't get to me because of my identity, not in myself, but in what God has done for me. It's all Him. And like I say, every week I end this way, is we will only do this by turning to God and focusing on our relationship with Him. Relationship with God is the single most important thing that you can do in your life. We read the Word to get to know Him. We pray to have relationship with Him. We worship Him, to have fellowship with Him. All those things, that's how we get to know Him, right? I even love the fact that the Word in John, when it says the Word came and lived among us, talking about Jesus, that word in the Greek is the exact same word that's used for the Scriptures. Do you know that? Because it's all the Word of God. Points us to who He is. Points us. Jesus pointed us to who God is. The Word points us to who God is. It teaches us. It instructs us in godly living. And when we read something that we're like, I've been looking at it through the flesh, then we need to repent, change our mind how we're looking at that, and we need to turn to the way God sees it. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to let you guys go a little early this morning. I hope this hit home for you. The one thing that I really wanted you to just get, it's just a simple little thing, but it'll help you, and that is this, that when you're stuck, turn towards God. When you're stuck, turn towards God, all right? When you're stuck, when you're in that place where it's like, you know, the wall is like this and you just can't go any further, and a lot of Christians are just there beating our heads against the stone, turn, because there's an opening, and you got to turn around. You can't go. You're going to keep smacking the wall. You've got to turn around. You've got to turn towards God. Amen. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. If there's anyone in here who's never accepted Jesus and you would like to, and you say, man, I want to accept Him for the first time in my life, would you just raise your hand? Say, that's me. Cool, guys. And I'm sure there's so many of us in here, me, myself, and many of my issues, that what I was talking about this morning was ministering to me as well. And we'd say, hey, man, I need to start looking through that spirit lens over issues. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I want you to start thinking about those issues that you're allowing the flesh to be the lens you're looking at them through. And just right now, I'm going to pray, but would you just pray to God and say, God, I'm going to start seeing things the way You see them. And even in that moment, would you just start to Him, just say, hey, I am holy in the name of Jesus in my spirit. I am sanctified. I'm justified. All these things are in my spirit. And you begin to speak those things over those situations that you know you're seeing them through the flesh. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You. God, that You are so good and holy, and God, You have made us holy. It says that we get to be in Your divine nature to experience those things, not because of who we are, but because of what You did through Your Son on a cross. And so, God, I pray that we would all just see life through the spiritual lens. God, that we wouldn't let Satan take our mind and turn us from You, but instead we would say, God, we're going to turn and we're going to focus on You in every moment of every day through every situation. It's You, Jesus. It's You. We love You, Lord. You're so good. You're so wonderful. God, I thank You that You have taken sin out of our life. I don't know how to thank You anymore. but just by worshiping you and thanking you. God, you took these issues away from us, and we deal with them because, God, it's us. We look through those lenses a little wrong, but God, I just pray that when we do, I know that your Holy Spirit is going to convict us, turn us. God, I pray that we would repent and turn to you. Love you, God. You're so wonderful, so mighty, so worthy of our praise. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you. In your name, amen. Amen. Love you all. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you guys next weekend.